Right, here we go with hour number two. Gwen and Chris on a Wednesday ahead of Padre baseball. Sam Levitt getting ready for his award-winning Padre pregame show.
The EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame
show. Yes, I don't know that he's actually got any hardware yet for his award-winning show, but just the fact that I feel it deserves to win awards ought to be enough for the great Sam Levitt. He's coming up at 4:30, then Padre baseball. Padres and Rockies at 5:30. A couple of quick notes before we get to the Daily Gambit. Number one, NBA road teams finally won a playoff game last night.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they won two.
Wow.
Indiana won at Milwaukee. Dallas won at the Clippers. NBA playoff action continues tonight. Miami at Boston. New Orleans at OKC. Also, a couple of quick baseball reliever notes for you out there. Do you know who the closer is for the Texas Rangers right now, Mr. Scraby?
Kirby Yates?
Yeah, that's right. Old Kirby has taken over the closer's
role.
Nah, I was just trying to bring this up. I mean, here's a guy that we liked a lot in San Diego, and I liked on this show a lot, and he was named the reliever of the year for baseball when he was here in San Diego. I didn't realize that he missed 2.5 years with injuries. But now with Jose Leclerc getting off to a slow start, Kirby Yates has assumed a closer's role in Texas and is getting the job done for Bruce Bochy. One other closer note, you and I talked about this when he was unfortunately had to be traded to the White Sox. Steven Wilson, another guy that we're fond of here.
Yeah.
And you thought, well, at least, you know, with a bad team, he might get some closer chances.
Yeah.
He got one last night, gave up two in the ninth to lose 6-5.
Well, you know.
And
you
that's can't the White the Sox guy. Right now, but
yeah.
still.
You can't expect the guy to. I mean, they've won three games. He's not had much opportunity.
But they could have had a fourth.
I get it.
And he didn't get it done last night.
But you know what?
Such is the life of a closer.
He's on the White Sox. It's not much to look
Tough
forward
go.
To this year.
Is Tommy Pham playing yet for the White Sox, by the way?
I don't know if that officially ever happened. Did
you
it officially
yeah.
happen?
Yeah, it officially happened.
I don't remember seeing official, but...
Let me see.
I don't think he's playing for the White Sox
Thomas
yet.
Pham.
It's at Tommy's Pham?
Thomas Pham. Yeah, I don't see him.
8 days ago, they agreed to a minor league contract.
I see. So he hasn't been called to the big... He's probably doing his, you know... preseason getting in shape routine right now.
Yeah, him and Donovan Solano. And when Donovan Solano gets to the big leagues, the Padres are never going to lose again.
I hope you're right. It sounds like a lineup is out.
Yes.
For today's game at Coors Field. What have you, Mr. Scraby?
Bogarts leading off, batting first, or that is the same thing as leading off, playing second is what I meant to say. Right field, Fernando Tatis Jr., Jake Cronenworth hitting third, Jurickson Profar DHing in the cleanup spot, Ha-Seong Kim, shortstop, fifth spot, Jackson Merrill in the sixth spot today, playing center field. Eggy Rosario playing third base in the seventh spot. Then you have Azokar in the eighth spot and Higashioka in the ninth spot.
All right. Mostly right-handed hitting lineup except for Jake.
Yes.
Tonight against the starting lefty Ty Black and the Rocks. All right, let's find out who else is winning, losing. Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit's our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. And real quick, Jackson Merrill at the sixth spot. He just keeps on moving up that order, Chris.
But again, Manny's out.
Oh, and Jackson Merrill's a lefty, too.
All right. Two lefties in the lineup tonight. Look, Jackson Merrill deserves what he's getting, but he's not. I don't think Mike Schilt wants him to go a whole lot higher than that in the order. Just wants to keep the pressure off him. Let him continue to perform in anonymity he is doing right now.
Yes.
So I don't see the big hurry, although you and many fans do.
I know. I think
want to rush him right up to the number four spot or the number three spot. And
I never said that.
You know, let's just relax.
I just want him to do what he's been doing and keep doing it.
And he has a better chance to keep doing that.
In
batting where he's batting.
Yes. All right. So we made a lot of bets last night, actually. And everybody, please gamble responsibly. My parlay did not work out, so I'm just not even... None of them worked out, so I won't even repeat it. Anthony Edwards and Kevin Durant.
Before you get to this, your parlay was so bad last night.
Okay, I said let's skip it.
No, I got a tweet from somebody saying how you should just stop doing parlays altogether.
Who sent this tweet?
I don't know who it was. I don't, you know, I didn't...
Gambling person 123?
Somebody said that, you know, you should stop doing these
parlays. Okay, you don't need to actually look it up.
You're embarrassing everybody.
I'm not embarrassing anyone except for myself. So yeah. You can't feel bad about it if I don't feel bad about it.
Yeah, but I'm trying to defend you, actually, because I think the listener just misses the point of our entire segment here, which is just to talk about teams that win, preview games that are coming up.
Yes.
And it's fun to pick games, and we don't claim to be, you know,
experts. And we're not actually betting any money. So that's why I keep doing parlays.
Sure. Yeah.
If I was betting money every day, I think I would have stopped a long
time ago. Keep in mind, about 3 years ago, Scraby tried to predict the final score of every Padre game. It took him an entire season to actually do it.
Yep, it did. It absolutely did. All right, Anthony Edwards, Kevin Durant, who scored more points last night? When I looked up Anthony Edwards' points last night, I was like, okay, Kevin Durant easily got this. Anthony Edwards scored 15 points. Kevin Durant, though, not much more with 18, but he does still win, and you win that bet.
Yeah. Well, that's Edwards deferred a little bit last night, and the guy that had the big game was McDaniels.
Oh, yeah.
The brother of the former Aztec, Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah, Jaden.
He had I think he had 25 points. T-Wolves took a 2-0 lead in that series.
Good for them. Luka Doncic, over under 33.5 points last night. We both said over. He had 32.
I know. I mean, how many do you lose like that?
Yeah.
1 point. By the way, can you open a chapter under D in the book for Luka Doncic?
Okay.
I've kind of had enough of him hitting a jump shot, turning to the crowd, yelling obscenities, and claiming to everybody at the top of his lungs that he is a AH. And he yelled
it. Wait, he did?
Yes, I am. He said, bleep you, bleep this, bleep that. Yes, I am an AH after hitting what was kind of the dagger shot. I don't get his whole attitude.
Well, he was on the road, so.
So what? Just, you know what? I don't need that. I really don't need that. And beside that, with Luka Doncic, he whines more than any player I think I've ever seen. Anytime somebody goes near him, he throws his hands up in the air. He screams bloody murder. He cries to the officials. He probably gets as many technical fouls as Draymond Green gets in a season. I mean, he is a constant complainer. It's just a bad look for Luka Doncic. Somebody had to get a hold of him and tell him to rein it in a little bit, honestly.
I will.
He's a great player.
I'll get a hold of Mark Cuban.
He's a great player, but his attitude stinks.
You have Danny on the chat agreeing with you. Elo is 100% correct. It's exhausting watching him play. He complains about everything. I'm so tired of Luka. All right.
But, you know, I mean, when you hit a 40-foot jumper to win the game, that's a great shot. But you don't need to. Yeah. Anyway, I already explained what he yelled, and it just didn't seem appropriate.
I'm stuck in the middle, but we'll move on for the sake of time.
Okay.
Clippers last night, -1.5 on the point spread. We both chose the Clippers, but the Mavs, as Chris said, won 96-93.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard was not himself after missing the last 22 days due to injury. He missed all five of his threes. He was just out of sorts in the fourth quarter when he's normally spot on.
That's got to be tough, though. Right. Not playing for a while, coming into high-level intensity playoff basketball.
Yeah, it was probably the difference in the game.
Indiana at Milwaukee, over under 223 total points in the game.
223.5.
223.5, sorry.
There was a hook.
Chris said over, I said under, and Chris won because it was 125-108 for 233 points.
Oh, it's 233.
Yeah.
My addition is terrible.
My addition was terrible, too.
I thought it was 223. I thought it missed by a half.
I actually did the but same. I made wrong. The same mistake earlier and then went to the calculator.
Okay, so I got that one. Yay!
Yes. Yay, he Woo-hoo. Says. Padres, or as Chris said, San Diego at Colorado yesterday.
Right.
The total score in the game over under 9.5 runs. I didn't actually record what you said, Chris.
I said over.
I said over as well, and we both did it. Because it was 7-4, 11 runs.
11, yes.
Not the result we wanted.
Right.
Paul Blackburn, the pitcher for the A's against the Yankees yesterday, over under 4.5 strikeouts. We both went over, and we got it. He had 5.
Got off to a shaky start. He gave up 4 runs in the first inning.
Yes, he did.
And then shut them down the rest of the way. Did not produce a win for the Oakland A's, but...
No.
Keep an eye on Blackburn. He's a good young pitcher for them.
Yes. USD Torero Baseball against the Aztecs. And Chris, you chose the Aztecs.
Yeah, because
I chose the Toreros.
You know, it's my heart.
USD won 11 to
11
2.
11 to 2. Ugh.
I think the Aztecs may have been down 8-0 early.
Aztec baseball. Like I said yesterday, I don't even want to say their record. It's not great, but I will give credit to USD, which is now 27-12.
27-12, wow.
Yeah, they're having a great year. All right, you ready for tonight?
I am.
Padres 1.5 runs over the Rockies. I thought it'd give us a gimme. There's no way the Padres aren't winning tonight, so I will take the Padres and give the 1.5 happily.
You say there's no way the Padres are not winning, or wait, there's no way the Padres lose tonight is what you said.
That's what I'm saying.
But there are many ways that the Padres can lose, and we've seen them all in the last 2 years.
Okay.
I'm going to still say the Padres.
You're going to still say the
for
Padres.
Good fortune.
Rockies' longest winning streak this season, 1. I don't expect it to go to 2. Joe Ryan is the highest strikeout guy of the night in Major League Baseball. Pitches for the Twins against the helpless White Sox.
Ugh.
Joe Ryan over under 7.5 strikeouts. Scrape.
Ooh, I know nothing about Joe Ryan, but they're playing the White Sox, so I'll go over.
Go over.
Yeah.
For Joe Ryan. I'll say under. To me, it's like you can be as awful as the White Sox are, but the old blind squirrel theory. Yeah,
finds an acorn.
You know, every now and again, like 4 or 5 balls bloop in and you score some runs. So I say Joe Ryan comes up short tonight. Boston Celtics, 14.5 over the Miami Heat. Beat him by 20 in game 1. You know, without Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
You know, it's really tough for Miami. But Boston just bugs me because all they do is shoot threes. So I say tonight they're off.
Okay.
I'll take Miami plus the 14.5.
I'm going to do the same.
Say they do not get blown out in back-to-back games. I'll probably be sorry with that. New Orleans and OKC. First game was 94-92.
Defensive game.
Second game, they're not expecting that. Over-under's 211.5. Scraby.
I think Zion is playing.
Oh yeah, he's back.
Let me just make sure before I.
You love Zion.
I love him now.
I'm surprised you don't have like a Zion poster in your room at home.
How do you know I don't?
Oh, true.
I read it wrong. It's not this game, but if they continue in the playoffs, he thinks he can play again.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought I had read. I just didn't want to argue with you.
No, you can argue with me because I'm usually wrong.
About you are that time.
Those sorts of things. I'm just going to go over.
Over? They were way under in the first game. Usually means they'll go over, shoot better. But I'll go under again.
All right.
Finally, the Kings play in Edmonton tonight. They're down 1-0. Edmonton, LA Kings, 6 goals. This seems like a gimme. The first game was 7-4.
Oh, wow.
Had 11 goals.
Yeah.
I got to believe that these teams are good enough to at least go to 7 tonight, so I'll say over.
Over.
What about you? 6 goals.
I'm going to say under.
Really?
Defensive battle.
The defensive battle tonight in Alberta.
Sure.
You ever been to Alberta?
Never been to Canada. They won't let me in.
Really? They won't let you in?
No, I'm just kidding. I've never been, though.
Yeah. I've been to Vancouver, and that's about as far as I've gotten.
I've heard Canada is very nice.
Seems like a nice, you know,
place.
Look, they have Boxing Day, which, yes, which I think is a nice touch. You know,
Montreal.
Day after Christmas, they box up all their goodies and leave them out for people less fortunate.
My cousin goes to college in Montreal, and
right.
She loves it.
I'm going to Quebec City this summer for a little vacay.
When is that?
It's down the road,
okay.
So you don't need to know. It's
okay.
You're on a need-to-know basis about that.
I think I need to know.
You'll know when the time is right.
Okay,
but I will
good.
Be heading north of the border to the Great White North as they call it. We'll be heading to the great check of traffic and then come back with more. Reggie Bush is in the news today for all the right reasons. We'll explain.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the program. Gwen and Chris rolls on here. On 97.3 The Fan, Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. in Denver, Coors Field. Padres and Rockies, game three of the four-game series coming up in just a little bit. Matt Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. You know, tomorrow, at this very time, Padres will be wrapping up their four-game series in Denver. And then Sammy Leavitt will be coming on and doing a post-game show. I mention that because after that post-game show tomorrow, while Tony Gwynn Jr. and the Padres are working their way back to San Diego, Matt Scraby will join me, as will Braden Surprenant, for the NFL Draft Show. It all gets underway at 5 o'clock tomorrow evening. Do not miss it. Tony Gwynn Jr. thought we were just joking about that a couple of days ago. He couldn't believe that Scraby and I were actually enlisted to do a draft show.
I think he was more surprised because of how much you hate the draft.
That's exactly why.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly why.
There's no
Chris
question.
Chris despises the draft.
I do despise the draft. However, Adam Klug's choices were either me or Ben Higgins, I guess. And Ben Higgins did a segment on his show today calling it the Ben Higgins mocks the NFL draft.
And they do it every year.
So every year. You have your choice of me or Ben.
When Adam came to me with this idea, he said, do you think Chris would want to do this? And I said, no way. There's zero chance that Chris would want to do
it. I have a good time with it because I think it's fun to sit back and, you know, just kind of take a shot at every team in the NFL. Now
it's not the teams in the NFL that I'm worried about. I'm worried about Mr. Kiper.
Oh, I know.
And whoever the other draft experts are.
Yes.
There's going to be lots of strays coming their way during this show.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
If Mel Kiper knew anything.
No, it's just that every single player drafted is going to be a life-changing athlete, and it's just not possible. It's not possible.
You're mad at him for pumping up the player?
If every player who was drafted became a life-altering player for the team they're drafted, they'd all be going to the Super Bowl, and it just doesn't work that way.
It could be life-altering.
Some of these guys are going to be great. Some of them are going to be terrible. Most of them are going to fall somewhere in between.
Okay.
That's how the NFL draft works.
But you have some wild thoughts today.
I think the hype in the NFL draft is a little off the charts. I'm there to try to calm everybody down tomorrow. So make sure you join us for the draft coverage starting at 5 o'clock. Tony, real quick, are you into the J.J. McCarthy world? I mean, he keeps moving up the draft board. It seems like every time I pick up a mock draft, he's gone from like late first round to mid first round to top 10 to top 5 to even people saying like the Bears should consider it at number 1. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a guy rise quite like this without playing a game.
Oh, no, we definitely have. We definitely have. I recall a Baker Mayfield kind of rising on up.
Oh, okay.
He went from like,
yeah,
like end of the first round to like all of a sudden he was like a first round pick. Now, you can make your decision on how that turned out on your own. But, yeah, man, it is weird. I mean, I think he's a good quarterback. I don't know that he is like a top. He should be what that would if he goes after. They're talking about him being what, the third quarterback.
Yeah,
in some,
Caleb
in some
Williams.
Draft?
It seems like Caleb Williams and Jalen Daniels seem like they'll be the first two. But then it's, you know, do you go Drake May, the right. North Carolina quarterback, or JJ? You know, I still think it's Michael Penix, but I'm on the you know very
you're
short
in the minority on
minority
that one, yeah.
There. People just are not enthralled with him for whatever reason. I'm not sure. I think he had two knee injuries, so they're worried he's right. going to get hurt again. Scraby, the expert that I know that I hang out with every day, told me that Michael Penix. Just throws the deep ball too much.
Oh, my God. He's acting like this is my opinion. I was relaying something that I read.
Well, I'm glad you're relaying that opinion because the last quarterback that had trouble throwing the deep ball too much was a guy named Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Holmes,
and he's winning
yeah.
Super Bowls every single year. So I don't necessarily think that's a terrible thing for Michael Penix.
He throws the deep ball too much. That is the breakdown. He just throws it too much.
You don't
so
want
therefore...
this guy. You don't want a guy that can complete a 60-yard
pass. So he does. He just throws
yeah,
a deep
why would you
ball.
Want him? Why would you want him?
I don't know why I tell Chris anything about anything.
Don't tell me anything.
I was studying up for our draft broadcast tomorrow, and this is what I read from someone.
I even said,
I don't think it's that big of a deal. And Chris is like, well, Scraby thinks that Michael Penix Jr.
You better be.
He set you up, Scraby.
He did.
You better be ready for some shots fired tomorrow afternoon. I think the draft show, whether you're into the draft or not, it's must-listen here on the program on the station tomorrow to listen to Scraby and I and Braden hash it all out. One other football note today before we get to a quick break, Tony. At long last, Reggie Bush has his Heisman Trophy. I didn't read the story. What changed? Did you pick up this? What was the deal that finally somebody said, you know what, let's do what we should have done 10 years ago?
I think they cited something along the lines of an extreme change in the sport, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And so...
So they
basically made something up
so that he could get it. Yeah.
Right, because they can't just say we messed up. It's like, right. it's a change in how... The sport has been conducted over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long. It was like two words they said, basically. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. But you're right, Tony. They should have come out and said, you know what, we're gonna right a wrong that we had no reason, you know, for installing many years ago. But where was the Heisman Trophy? Where was it? Do we know?
That's a great question.
Like who's
where did they have his stored?
Yeah.
So. Like then they decided because I think I saw it on Reggie's account first. He just posted a picture of him touching it again, and so.
Well, I hope they gave it to him back in good condition. So.
Yeah. No kid. Right. Not. He shouldn't have any new scratches on it because he didn't have it for a long time. So, good for Reggie, man. It's good that he should have never had to take it in the first place. But nonetheless, he's back at it, which also means Johnny Manziel will now be in attendance at the next
Heisman Trophy. They couldn't stand to do the next Heisman presentation without him.
He's back. He's back, good. Ladies and gentlemen. So.
How much do we think that Johnny Manziel is going to take credit for him getting the Heisman back?
He didn't take any credit. He simply said he's. I think he tweeted out that if you need him, he'll be watching old YouTube clips of Reggie Bush from 2000, whatever year that was.
Thank you, Johnny.
San Diego's own Reggie Bush has his Heisman Trophy.
Indeed.
So good for him. All right, we'll take a quick timeout, come back. Much more Gwen and Chris on the way, including today's Running with Scraby, also known as the Big Five, next. Padres will take on the Rockies tonight, a couple of hours from right now, at Coors Field, Game 3 of a four-game series. Chris Hello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Denver, getting ready to make tonight's call along with Jesse Agler, Matt Scraby.
What? Did you just
I was
call
about
me
to
math?
Call you Matthew.
Oh.
And I held up.
Why?
I didn't have time. I only had time for one syllable there. I don't know why. Just worked out that way, I guess. Mr. Scraby is alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios as we get ready to sail into today's Big Five. Still to come, Chris versus the Fans at the top of the hour. Your chance to perhaps win a trip to Las Vegas. Also, Sam Levitt's EcoWater SoCal Padre pregame show is an hour away. One more thing that you must make note of. Tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, it'll be the 2024 NFL Draft Show featuring our two draft experts in alphabetical order. They are Matthew Scraby and Braden Surprenant.
I see how you did that.
It's close.
K over you, but
yeah,
baby.
You guys are close. Scraby over Surprenant. Two draft experts. I'm going to just sit here and laugh at the two of you guys pretending to be experts.
Oh, we are experts.
But we will have the draft coverage for you tomorrow night. The Chicago Bears are on the clock.
And it will be on YouTube, everyone.
And apparently the Bears already know who they're going to take. They just don't want to tell anybody yet.
Let's go traffic. I wonder who they're going to take.
Well, let's not wonder.
Okay.
Let's check traffic and then get to the Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let's get into it, guys.
Number five.
I'm not going to waste any time today, but I do need to give you a little disclaimer first on this first one. I am not trying to DFA Graham Pauly, okay? I am not trying to do that. Okay. I know that he's a younger player. He only has 21 big league bats. Don't come at me for this question. The Padres have had him in AAA and then back up to the big leagues so far this year, Chris. Where do you think he should be right now?
Why are you asking this question? I still
don't
get it.
Don't come at me.
Where are you coming from?
For the question.
Where are you coming from?
I just want to know where you think he should be.
I think he should be where he is. I have no issues with that. 21 at bats is not enough to tell me whether he can get the job done or not get the job done. I think this is the perfect time to see what he can do. While Manny Machado is not available to play third base. So until further notice, I have no problem with him being exactly where he is. Sure, it'd be great if he was 11 for 21 and he had five home runs, but he's a young player. He's got to find his way. And, that's part of what the season is about for the Padres, young players finding their way. I'm sure Jackson Merrill will go through a 2 for 21 streak at some point. I'm not going to rush to DFA him either. I can't believe you just want to get rid of this guy. You're giving up on him. Unbelievable.
Tony, where do you think he should be right now?
I think he should be where he's at. There's a reason. It's the perfect time. Chris kind of said everything that kind of should be said. Like, it's the perfect time to bring him up. They don't have other options at this point. Manny's gone for four days, something around those numbers. And then... he'll be back, and it'll likely be that he'll go back down. But I think he should be up here to see what he has. He might be the D, because eventually, it's not going to be too much longer before Manny's back at third base, and then at that point, you're going to have to figure out who's going to be your DH. So why not give him a shot to see if he can hit enough?
All right, thank you guys.
You're welcome.
Number four.
The Detroit Lions.
For you, Scrape.
The Detroit Lions and Amon-Ra St. Brown have reportedly agreed on a 4-year, more than $120 million extension that makes him the highest paid wide receiver in football. According to the NFL Network, that deal comes with $77 million guaranteed, which the previous high was Tyreek Hill, and he had $72.2 million guaranteed. St. Brown has been one of the best receivers in football since coming into the league in 2021. In the past three seasons, he ranks 8th among wide receivers in yards, 5th in receptions, and 13th in touchdowns. And if we limit it just to the past two seasons, he ranks 5th in yards, 3rd in receptions, and 7th in touchdowns. So, Tony, is he good enough to be the highest paid wide receiver in football?
Yeah, because of the balancing scale that is, right? He's certainly one of the hottest, if not the hottest, wide receiver in the league right now. And his time happened to come up to where it was payday time. And so, as the trend has gone, that means you get top dollar. And so he sets the market for now. Now we'll wait to see what, you know, Brandon Ayuk does. How maybe he, that's a good marker for him to go underneath. Or, you know, I can't think. I think Ja'Marr Chase is probably going to probably be the one that tries to get on top of that one next. And that's just kind of how this cycle goes. So, yeah, to answer your question, he is good enough right now to be the number one guy.
Chris?
Well, I probably wouldn't have won. I didn't win many to begin with, but I probably wouldn't have won any fantasy games the last 2 years without him. He's that good. So, yeah, I think it's his turn to be the top dollar guy, just like it was Tyreek Hill's turn when he signed his contract. Yeah. I got to believe that everybody, at least I think the players, understand that when they sign these huge contracts and they become the highest paid player, they're just setting the bar for somebody else to pass them.
Right.
You know, the
right.
next time it's their contract turn. And at least they're, you know, they're giving it to a guy that I think is very deserving. He's all pro. Didn't he get overlooked though for the all pro team? Or no, the Pro Bowl.
I think he
it was the Pro Bowl. Something
yeah.
like that. They left him out and he was like, What in the world are we doing here? But yeah, I think he's one of the best in the league, and you know, I hope that the next guy who beats his mark will be the, you know, one of the best in the league as well.
I would think maybe Justin Jefferson is coming up on something like that.
He would probably
as long as he's healthy. Yep.
Yeah, as long as he's healthy.
That's another one.
Yeah. But you can't always have the number one guy in the league be the number one paid, because their contract doesn't come around like that.
You know who really is paying attention to this? Brandon Ayuk.
Why?
Because he's
why
trying
does
to get
Brandon Ayuk think that he should be in that company? Honestly, and I'm not just
I don't think he
I'm
thinks,
not just saying that because of the 49er thing. I mean, he's not in that company.
I don't
let's
think
be
he
honest.
Thinks he's going to be the highest paid guy in the league, but I think he sees that teams are giving out money to wide receivers, and so
I don't know how that affects him. He's a middle of the pack number 2
okay,
wide receiver.
All right.
That's what he
Wowzers.
Should be paid.
Jeez. What do you got against Brandon Ayuk?
Nothing. I'm just telling you exactly what he is.
Stinks.
I didn't
he
say
he deserves to be on the bench.
Didn't say any of that, but if you list all the number 2 wide receivers in the NFL, Brandon Ayuk's probably about 10th or 11th.
Okay.
Which is puts him in about the middle.
Right.
That's just where I would pay him.
You're digging your own hole deeper.
Sorry.
Just for once, it's not me. For once, it's not me.
Well, it's not.
Number 3.
Go ahead.
Nothing.
Okay. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not expected to pick up quarterback Justin Fields' $25 million fifth-year options, league sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. He was a first-round draft pick in 2021 and traded to the Steelers for a conditional sixth-round pick, but by not picking up his fifth-year option, the Steelers now have a quarterback room where their top two players are playing their final year of their contracts. So prior to trading for Fields, as we know, the Steelers signed Russell Wilson to a one-year deal for the league minimum. Chris, is it a good or bad idea to have two quarterbacks with 1 year left on their deals?
I think it's a great idea. Honestly, I love when I have players that are hungry and have something to prove on my roster. I would rather have that than two quarterbacks that have 7 years to go on their contracts and are fat cats and sitting back and just collecting money.
Fat cats.
Russell Wilson.
I love fat cats.
You know, if Russell Wilson, you know, for whatever reason, you know, doesn't get the job done, Justin Fields gets an opportunity and goes in there and plays great football and leads the Steelers to the promised land, you know, then guess what? That $25 million might seem cheap to pick up.
That's
so.
True.
I like having guys on my team that are hungry. You know, if they don't like it, then, you know, it's only going to cost them in the long run because they're not going to find a good contract next year.
Tony, is this a good or bad idea to have two quarterbacks with 1 year left on their deals?
I think Ivor Steele is a fantastic idea. I agree with Chris on this. Like, you know, we see it every year, guys who are on a, you know, either a one-year prove-it deal or on the last, you know, year of a deal, they tend to come out and play like somebody who is deserving of, you know, a long-term deal with a lot of money at the end of it. And so, so if you're looking at it from a Steelers standpoint, if both of them go out and stink it up, you certainly aren't obligated to have them back. If both of them go out and ball, then you're going to be able to maybe sign one, trade one, you know, or you know, however it may go. There's a lot of upside and very little downside to having two guys on there who, you know, are on one-year deals.
How would you like it, Scraby?
Oh, God.
Honestly, no, I think you would love this. I would think you would love if all of a sudden they changed the pay structure in all of professional sports.
Okay.
And, you know, leaving the owners and how much benefit this would be to them aside. But every player simply performed on a one-year contract. And if they were really good, they got another one and a raise.
Mm.
And if they didn't perform, they either didn't get a contract or they made less money the next year. That's never going to happen now.
No.
But it's kind of the situation that the Steelers are in.
The only,
I don't think it's a bad thing.
The only reason I wouldn't like that is because a player who's really good could get hurt and never play again, you know, and then they're out all
the time. I mean, that's true regardless, though.
I do like that idea, but I think that some players do deserve the long-term stability of because they're the best in their sport.
That wasn't the question. The question was, are you okay with having the Steelers? Is this a good move, basically?
Yes. Yeah, I'm just trying to give an example of what I'm extrapolating it out to the whole league.
Oh, I
think you'd get guy. I mean, for instance, golfers and tennis players, they have to win to make money.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily the case for football and baseball players and basketball players.
True.
It would be interesting if that were the case, is what I'm saying.
That would be interesting. Trying to think about a world with that in it.
Yeah.
Would it be a strange world?
I don't think it would be that interesting.
Yeah, we're not going to have it. It's not going to happen, so don't worry about it.
Oh, man.
Number two.
We're not going to talk about this, but the Houston Oilers, did you see what they did? Because they're making so much money. Not the Houston Oilers, the Houston Texans.
Houston Oilers, so good for them.
The Texans had to get the NFL's approval to use light blue in their uniforms because they have like a new City Connect uniform with a big H on their helmet.
Oh, great.
That's how much money the owners
have. Did you just make that term up? Are they calling it City Connects too?
I did it for the familiarity with the term.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, just making sure.
Yeah, thank you for the clarification.
I'm so glad you ducked that into the Big Five.
Well, it just shows you how much money the NFL has. You can't even use the color light blue unless we get permission from the NFL.
This guy used the Big Five to get off his rant that he's been thinking about.
Well, it was a topic, and then I decided not to.
You know, you have your own show now. You don't need to waste time in our show with that kind of stuff.
I don't have any Scraby Chronicles to myself for the next couple of weeks. So. I've already hit number two, I think, three times.
Yes, I think you have.
But this one's a little bit more serious. But with Caitlin Clark set to reportedly get her own signature shoe with Nike, some are saying there is a major issue with this, and it's not about her and her skill level. The article is not arguing if she deserved one. They think she does. However, not even the biggest star of the WNBA, Asia Wilson, has a signature shoe, and the author says that is the problem. Clark would only join three other WNBA players with signature shoes: Breanna Stewart, Elena Delle-Donne, and Sabrina Ionescu, as the three in the WNBA. No black women in the WNBA have a signature shoe. The question asked in the article was this, Tony: is this a lack of respect for the black women of the WNBA?
Is there a lack of respect?
That's what the article
said. I don't know if it's a lack of respect or not, but I mean, there's Asia Wilson should definitely have a signature shoe. I mean, she certainly, as you know, I think when you look at it from the Breanna Stewart, who else did you say has one?
Sabrina Ionescu and Elena Delle-Donne.
She's with Nike. Delle-Donne, I can't remember where she's with. Yeah, I mean, I don't see what those three have that Asia Wilson doesn't have. I mean, she's a two-time champ, if I'm not mistaken.
She's a two-time MVP.
She's also pretty popular. I think, you know, with her team, the Las Vegas Aces. I mean, she's got a huge following. Yeah. So somebody'd be wise to sign her up.
I don't understand why she doesn't have one. Now, you can make an argument that Caitlin, you know, based on the eye she brings to the game itself, her contract with Nike is certainly more than earned at this point, right?
Yeah.
But you can't, in terms of having a signature shoe, yeah, I would say it is kind of, I don't know if it's disrespectful to all the black women in the league. But it's certainly disrespectful to Asia Wilson. She is more than worthy of having her own shoe.
Chris, what do you think?
Well, I think Tony's right. I mean, in a perfect world, all of the top players would have their shoe. And the WNBA is starting to come to the party now. And I just think that, you know, all of this jealousy, if that's the right word, of Caitlin Clark is, you know, going to eventually be washed away based on the kind of money that Caitlin Clark is going to help bring to this league. And I think that the rest of the players in the league are going to understand that whether deserved or not, and it's certainly not necessarily deserved because she hasn't played a game yet in the league, but you know what Caitlin Clark is helping to do for the WNBA, I think it's similar to what Tiger Woods did for bringing eyeballs to golf. And when he first got there, I think there was a certain amount of jealousy. Why is everything about Tiger, Tiger, Tiger? Until guys started getting their paycheck when they finished in eighth place and realizing, wow, I didn't used to get that much money for finishing in eighth place. So I think
that's a great point.
You know, it's a give and take here. You've got to have somebody, you know, be the one that paves the way. And in this case, it happens to be a white athlete. You know, in the NBA, right, it was more about maybe.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Let's get into it, guys.
Number five.
I'm not going to waste any time today, but I do need to give you a little disclaimer first on this first one. I am not trying to DFA Graham Pauly, okay? I am not trying to do that. Okay. I know that he's a younger player. He only has 21 big league bats. Don't come at me for this question. The Padres have had him in AAA and then back up to the big leagues so far this year, Chris. Where do you think he should be right now?
Why are you asking this question? I still
don't
get it.
Don't come at me.
Where are you coming from?
For the question.
Where are you coming from?
I just want to know where you think he should be.
I think he should be where he is. I have no issues with that. 21 at bats is not enough to tell me whether he can get the job done or not get the job done. I think this is the perfect time to see what he can do. You know, while Manny Machado is not available to play third base. So until further notice, I have no problem with him being exactly where he is. Sure, it'd be great if he was 11 for 21 and he had 5 home runs, but he's a young player. He's got to find his way. And, you know, that's part of what the season is about for the Padres, young players finding their way. I'm sure Jackson Merrill will go through a 2 for 21 streak at some point. I'm not going to rush to DFA him either. I can't believe you just want to get rid of this guy. You're giving up on him. Unbelievable.
Tony, where do you think he should be right now?
I think he should be where he's at. There's a reason. It's the perfect time. Chris kind of said everything that kind of should be said. Like, it's the perfect time to bring him up. They don't have other options at this point. Manny's gone for 3 days, something around those numbers. And then... he'll be back, and you know it'll likely be that he'll go back down. But I think he should be up here to see what he has. You know, he might be the D, because eventually, you know, it's not going to be too much longer before Manny's back at third base, and then at that point, you're going to have to figure out who's going to be your DH. So why not give him a shot to see if he can hit enough?
All right, thank you guys.
You're welcome.
Number four.
The Detroit Lions.
For you, Scrape.
The Detroit Lions and Amon-Ra St. Brown have reportedly agreed on a 4-year, more than $120 million extension that makes him the highest paid wide receiver in football. According to the NFL Network, that deal comes with $77 million guaranteed, which the previous high was Tyreek Hill, and he had $72.2 million guaranteed. St. Brown has been one of the best receivers in football since coming into the league in 2021. In the past 3 seasons, he ranks 8th among wide receivers in yards, 5th in receptions, and 13th in touchdowns. And if we limit it just to the past 2 seasons, he ranks 5th in yards, 3rd in receptions, and 7th in touchdowns. So, Tony, is he good enough to be the highest paid wide receiver in football?
Yeah, because of the balancing scale that is, right? He's certainly one of the hottest, if not the hottest, wide receiver in the league right now. And his time happened to come up to where it was payday time. And so as the trend has gone, that means you get top dollar. And so he sets the market for now. Now we'll wait to see what, you know, Brandon Ayuk does. How maybe that's a good marker for him to go underneath. Or, you know, I can't think. I think Ja'Marr Chase is probably going to probably be the one that tries to get on top of that one next. And that's just kind of how this cycle goes. So, yeah, to answer your question, he is good enough right now to be the number one guy.
Chris?
Well, I probably wouldn't have won. I didn't win many to begin with, but I probably wouldn't have won any fantasy games the last 2 years without him. He's that good. So, yeah, I think it's his turn to be the top dollar guy, just like it was Tyreek Hill's turn when he signed his contract. Yeah. I got to believe that everybody, at least I think the players, understand that when they sign these huge contracts and they become the highest paid player, they're just setting the bar for somebody else to pass them.
Right.
You know, the
right.
next time it's their contract turn. And at least they're, you know, they're giving it to a guy that I think is very deserving. He's all pro. Didn't he get overlooked though for the all pro team? Or no, the Pro Bowl.
I think he
it was the Pro Bowl. Something yeah. like that. They left him out and he was like, What in the world are we doing here? But yeah, I think he's one of the best in the league, and you know, I hope that the next guy who beats his mark will be the, you know, one of the best in the league as well.
I would think maybe Justin Jefferson is coming up on something like that.
He would probably as long as he's healthy.
Yep.
Yeah, as long as he's healthy.
That's another one.
Yeah. But you can't always have the number one guy in the league be the number one paid, because their contract doesn't come around like that.
You know who really is paying attention to this? Brandon Ayuk.
Why?
Because he's
why does Brandon Ayuk think that he should be in that company? Honestly, and I'm not just
I'm not just saying
that because of the 49er thing. I mean, he's not in that company.
I don't think he thinks he's going to be the highest paid guy in the league, but I think he sees that teams are giving out money to wide receivers, and so
I don't know how that affects him. He's a middle of the pack number two wide receiver.
All right.
That's what he should be paid.
Jeez, what do you got against Brandon Ayuk?
Nothing. I'm just telling you exactly what he is.
Stinks.
I didn't say
he deserves to be on the bench.
Didn't say any of that. But if you list all the number two wide receivers in the NFL, Brandon Ayuk's probably about 10th or 11th.
Okay.
Which is puts him in about the middle.
Right.
That's just where I would pay him.
You're digging your own hole deeper.
Sorry.
Just for once, it's not me. For once, it's not me.
Well, it's not.
Number three.
Go ahead.
Nothing.
Okay. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not expected to pick up quarterback Justin Fields' $25 million fifth-year options, league sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. He was a first-round draft pick in 2021 and traded to the Steelers for a conditional sixth-round pick, but by not picking up his fifth-year option, the Steelers now have a quarterback room where their top two players are playing their final year of their contracts. So prior to trading for Fields, as we know, the Steelers signed Russell Wilson to a one-year deal for the league minimum. Chris, is it a good or bad idea to have two quarterbacks with 1 year left on their deals?
I think it's a great idea. Honestly, I love when I have players that are hungry and have something to prove on my roster. I would rather have that than two quarterbacks that have 7 years to go on their contracts and are fat cats and sitting back and just collecting money.
Fat cats.
Russell Wilson.
I love fat cats.
You know, if Russell Wilson, you know, for whatever reason, you know, doesn't get the job done, Justin Fields gets an opportunity and goes in there and plays great football and leads the Steelers to the promised land, you know, then guess what? That $25 million might seem cheap to pick up.
That's
so.
True.
I like having guys on my team that are hungry. You know, if they don't like it, then, you know, it's only going to cost them in the long run because they're not going to find a good contract next year.
Tony, is this a good or bad idea to have two quarterbacks with 1 year left on their deals?
I think Ivor Steele is a fantastic idea. I agree with Chris on this. Like, you know, we see it every year, guys who are on a, you know, either a one-year prove-it deal or on the last, you know, year of a deal, they tend to come out and play like somebody who is deserving of, you know, a long-term deal with a lot of money at the end of it. And so, so if you're looking at it from a Steelers standpoint, if both of them go out and stink it up, you certainly aren't obligated to have them back. If both of them go out and ball, then you're going to be able to maybe sign one, trade one, you know, or you know, however it may go. There's a lot of upside and very little downside to having two guys on there who, you know, are on 1 year deals.
How would you like it, Scraby?
Oh, God.
Honestly, no, I think you would love this. I would think you would love if all of a sudden they changed the pay structure in all of professional sports.
Okay.
And, you know, leaving the owners and how much benefit this would be to them aside. But every player simply performed on a one-year contract. And if they were really good, they got another one and a raise.
Mm.
And if they didn't perform, they either didn't get a contract or they made less money the next year. That's never going to happen now.
No.
But it's kind of the situation that the Steelers are in.
The only,
I don't think it's a bad thing.
The only reason I wouldn't like that is because a player who's really good could get hurt and never play again, you know, and then they're out all
the time. I mean, that's true regardless, though.
I do like that idea, but I think that some players do deserve the long-term stability of because they're the best in their sport.
That wasn't the question. The question was, are you okay with having the Steelers? Is this a good move, basically?
Yes. Yeah, I'm just trying to give an example of what I'm extrapolating it out to the whole league.
Oh, I
think you'd get guy. I mean, for instance, golfers and tennis players, they have to win to make money.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily the case for football and baseball players and basketball players.
True.
It would be interesting if that were the case, is what I'm saying.
That would be interesting. Trying to think about a world with that in it.
Yeah.
Would it be a strange world?
I don't think it would be that interesting.
Yeah, we're not going to have it. It's not going to happen, so don't worry about it.
Oh, man.
Number two.
We're not going to talk about this, but the Houston Oilers, did you see what they did? Because they're making so much money. Not the Houston Oilers, the Houston Texans.
Houston Oilers, so good for them.
The Texans had to get the NFL's approval to use light blue in their uniforms because they have like a new City Connect uniform with a big H on their helmet.
Oh, great.
That's how much money the owners
have. Did you just make that term up? Are they calling it City Connects too?
I did it for the familiarity with the term.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, just making sure.
Yeah, thank you for the clarification.
I'm so glad you ducked that into the Big Five.
Well, it just shows you how much money the NFL has. You can't even use the color light blue unless we get permission from the NFL.
This guy used the Big Five to get off his rant that he's been thinking about.
Well, it was a topic, and then I decided not to.
You know, you have your own show now. You don't need to waste time in our show with that kind of stuff.
I don't have any Scraby Chronicles to myself for the next couple of weeks. So. I've already hit number two, I think, three times.
Yes, I think you have.
But this one's a little bit more serious. But with Caitlin Clark set to reportedly get her own signature shoe with Nike, some are saying there is a major issue with this, and it's not about her and her skill level. The article is not arguing if she deserved one. They think she does. However, not even the biggest star of the WNBA, Asia Wilson, has a signature shoe, and the author says that is the problem. Clark would only join three other WNBA players with signature shoes: Breanna Stewart, Elena Delle-Donne, and Sabrina Ionescu, as the three in the WNBA. No black women in the WNBA have a signature shoe. The question asked in the article was this, Tony: is this a lack of respect for the black women of the WNBA?
Is there a lack of respect?
That's what the article
said. I don't know if it's a lack of respect or not, but I mean, there's Asia Wilson should definitely have a signature shoe. I mean, she certainly, as you know, I think when you look at it from the Breanna Stewart, who else did you say has one?
Sabrina Ionescu and Elena Delle-Donne.
She's with Nike. Delle-Donne, I can't remember where she's with. Yeah, I mean, I don't see what those three have that Asia Wilson doesn't have. I mean, she's a two-time champ, if I'm not mistaken.
She's a two-time MVP.
She's also pretty popular. I think, you know, with her team, the Las Vegas Aces. I mean, she's got a huge following. Yeah. So somebody'd be wise to sign her up.
I don't understand why she doesn't have one. Now, you can make an argument that Caitlin, you know, based on the eye she brings to the game itself, her contract with Nike is certainly more than earned at this point, right?
Yeah.
But you can't, in terms of having a signature shoe, yeah, I would say it is kind of, I don't know if it's disrespectful to all the black women in the league. But it's certainly disrespectful to Asia Wilson. She is more than worthy of having her own shoe.
Chris, what do you think?
Well, I think Tony's right. I mean, in a perfect world, all of the top players would have their shoe. And the WNBA is starting to come to the party now. And I just think that, you know, all of this jealousy, if that's the right word, of Caitlin Clark is, you know, going to eventually be washed away based on the kind of money that Caitlin Clark is going to help bring to this league. And I think that the rest of the players in the league are going to understand that whether deserved or not, and it's certainly not necessarily deserved because she hasn't played a game yet in the league, but you know what Caitlin Clark is helping to do for the WNBA, I think it's similar to what Tiger Woods did for bringing eyeballs to golf. And when he first got there, I think there was a certain amount of jealousy. Why is everything about Tiger, Tiger, Tiger? Until guys started getting their paycheck when they finished in eighth place and realizing, wow, I didn't used to get that much money for finishing in eighth place. So I think
that's a great point.
You know, it's a give and take here. You've got to have somebody, you know, be the one that paves the way. And in this case, it happens to be a white athlete. You know, in the NBA, right, it was more about maybe Michael Jordan was the one who really turned the corner, and he was a black athlete. But I don't think that had anything to do with race. It had to do with the fact that the time was right, and Jordan was the guy of that moment.
All right.
And he was
talented. Number one. Sorry. Go ahead.
And he was talented enough, as is Caitlin Clark, in terms of that. But, yeah, that's all true, all that. But there should be a signature shoe out there for Agent Wilson. She's still more than...
Yeah, I believe she's got the kind of following where people would buy that shoe. So somebody should
recognize. Right, outside of that, I'm not sure that applies to everyone.
One. While you were going to completely switch gears here, while you may be annoyed about paying taxes, billionaire Mark Cuban says he's happy to pay the $275.9 million he owes for 2023. He said on Sunday in an X post, "I pay what I owe. This country has done so much for me. I'm proud to pay my taxes every single year." He did confirm that CNBC that he wired, get it? Shohei Ohtani, Ipe, wired.
No.
$275.9 million. Mark Cuban knew he was wiring the money is where I was going with that. I know. I feel like that really fell flat. I feel the room deflating as we speak. We only get to be entrepreneurs.
Why do you focus on something that is, you know, just not successful?
Because that's how my brain works. That's how my brain works.
Just accept it and move on.
We only
right. We weren't even talking. Just move on, brother.
What's the question here?
I wish I could go.
What's the question? Mark Cuban paid all this tax money. What's the question?
He goes on to say, "We only get to be entrepreneurs, enjoy our freedoms because of the men and women who dedicate their lives to protecting our country. They deserve every penny they get, and my taxes go to support them." The question is this, Chris. Would you vote for Mark Cuban for president?
Oh, my God.
Would I vote for him for president?
Yeah, there was rumblings that he was thinking about.
Well, first of all, you know, I will say congrats to Mark Cuban. I think, you know, even though he's probably looking for a pat on the back and an attaboy.
I don't think so.
I think he's saying the right thing. And I wish more people just kind of understood that, you know, this country does give the rights to a lot of people to be able to go out and make the kind of money that Mark Cuban and others have made. And so pay your taxes, do your due diligence there. As far as would I vote for him for president, you're darn right I'd vote for him for president. The choices right now are not all that alluring outside of Mark Cuban.
Alluring.
So, alluring, no, they're not very alluring. So, yes, if he ran, I might consider it.
Tony, would you vote for Mark Cuban for president?
I might consider it. I don't know. I don't know if I'd vote for him or not. If I vote for him or not, because I don't know what he's standing on. If I'm not mistaken, if this is the same tweet that I saw, I think he was defending himself from someone on Twitter when he dropped that on.
Oh, was it like someone saying that he doesn't pay taxes or something?
Something along those lines, or something along, you know, I don't know what it was. I just kind of saw that tweet and kind of traced it back to see what he was talking about. Why he? Because at first I was like, "That's odd. You just offering that up there for everybody to know."
It is. Yes.
And then, so
next year, when
like,
I pay my taxes, I'm going to write a tweet telling everybody exactly what I'm paying.
Right. So, nonetheless, I don't know. I don't know if I'd vote for him or not.
All right. I'm quickly looking through. Don't find anything. All right. Well, that's it for the Big Five. Good job, everyone. And we're going to head to Chris vs. the Fans. 833-288-0973. Call in right now. You have a chance to win a trip or qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. That's next on 97.3 The Fan.